Blog Talk Radio.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. Let it be, let it be, let it be. And when the broken-hearted people living in the world agree, there will be an answer, let it be. For though they may be parted, there is still a chance that they will see.
Sweet discussions inside of this. We are all poetry, not all poetry. I am with Team of Voices. Thank you, Dev, and all your great team for letting us do this. We have a great time with Team of Voices. Come on by and get to know us. Great poets there and throughout all poetry. You just heard Let It Be by the Beatles, one of the greatest rock bands in the United, in the United World. Ever to be. Tonight we are talking about stress and relaxing, otherwise known as stress relaxing, and that is a perfect song, the ability to let it be. Can you ever just let it be? I know I can't. I have such a hard time with it. I just can't let it go. I get on something, I'm like a dog with a bone, and I go and I go and I go and I go and I go, and I never, ever, ever let go, and then I go back to it, and I go back to it, and I go back to it, and I'm surprised I'm not still dealing with somebody that took my crayon because it was the peach crayon and not the orange crayon, and the teacher said just use the peach crayon, or let them use the crayon, and I wanted peach because peach is more color than flesh and not orange, and who wants orange people? I want peach, but, you know, I'm not obsessing about that anymore at all. I'm good with it. I'm just letting it be. All right. Okay. Let me say hello to Rack and Tor. How are you, Rack and Tor?
Whisper Rhymes of Darkness, Sweet Pea.
Yes. How are you tonight?
I'm doing all right. I'm here.
Good.
I'm enjoying your company.
Aw, thank you. And I'm going to say hello to 506. If they're there. Hello? Hello? I don't know where they went. They're here. They say they're here. Maybe they're not here. Maybe they are here. Maybe they're on mute. Maybe they're not on mute.
They've got a frog in their throat.
It'd be a good idea if you answered the phone.
I did answer the phone. I was like, where is she? Where is she?
I was here all along.
She's got a frog in her throat.
You.
Well, no,
you
because when you
board,
said,
you
is she still, say hello to 506 if she's there. No, she's not there. And then it went unmuted.
How very odd.
It really was.
I like, I'm on the board asking, can you hear me? Can you hear me? Because I was talking to Rack the same way. And I refreshed my studio. Hello, studio. Ha. Huh. But the little, you were on the little red button, not the blue one with the headphones, so I don't know what that was all about. Hi, honey.
Don't play with a button.
How
it's PG-13.
It is PG-13. Hello, honey. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. And
good.
If I said I wasn't, well, I'm lying.
This is it. This is the show to say you want, because this is the, oh, my God, it's been that kind of week. Even though I
yeah.
could have put up, oh, my God, it's been that kind of year. But I thought maybe we'd just condense it for a week because I only have a couple hours in the show. But it has been, holy. You know, I think every year that I get older, it just gets more complicated. I thought I had problems with the peach crayon, and now things are just more complicated.
So,
and
what kind of week did you have?
What kind of week did I have? Well, I am struggling with, I pulled a muscle in my back because I was picking up dog poop, like raking and picking up dog poop in my backyard, and I just twinged. Because I have a dog poop problem every other day because I have three dogs, so I rake and I do that
every
day.
Well, it must
day.
Be very heavy dog poop, is it?
Well, no, not really. I just turned
it's
the wrong
the
way
weight.
When I was...
Yeah,
it was, well, because usually I take the shovel and I rake in it, but I was awkward holding it or something, and I tweaked, and that's not very good. So I tweaked a little muscle. It's no big deal, little whatever, I think it's Tylenol I take, and a little heat. Now I'll be fine. And then, no big deal. My dog, oh my God, the puppy. I have a puppy, my weak as hell. My dog, my puppy, he likes my glasses. So he's now taken three pairs of my reading glasses and takes them somewhere, and I don't know where he takes them. But it's like a game. Where can I put the glasses? And he tries to find them. He's a very smart puppy, so he's like already learned how to open drawers. So like if he knows if he puts his mouth on the knob of a drawer, he can pull it open. He's only
wow.
8 months old. Oh, don't like smart puppies, love smart puppies kind of thing.
Oh,
he's also
why couldn't
learning,
it be someday?
He's also learning that he can, if he takes his paw and his nose, he can almost flip the latch. So from inside his kennel and get out of his kennel, which is never a good thing when your dog learns how to get out of their kennel, especially at 8 months old. Not a good thing. So he's been trying to configure all his ways. So he's been the you know, kind of like my whole thing. And then, of course, I have my father-in-law and my father are both in very serious condition, and that's a very personal thing, but neither one of my fathers are doing very well right now. And I'm dealing with rheumatic. Thank you. I'm trying to deal with massive amounts of paperwork on the Medicaid side to help my father-in-law, which is just insane. So I'm going back up to Wyoming again on Tuesday. So this back and forth of living in my home in Colorado, which I love and love, and then going to Wyoming, which I dearly, I will do whatever I have to because my dear mother-in-law, I love her dearly. But just, you know, living in two separate places, traveling with the dogs and going back and forth, it's a lot. It's a lot for me, and I have very little time to just go, oh. But I will say the one thing about Wyoming that I do love is they have this old-fashioned, huge iron club, iron tub that I will just drown myself in, and I love it. So every night I just go in and I soak in that tub, and it's beautiful. So other than the normal day-to-day, you know, hey, you got to do the laundry, you got to do this, you got to do that. Oh, yeah, puppy has this. Oh, yeah, puppy got this. Just trying to keep it together. Oh, and our windshield got cracked, like it hit a rock and literally cracked right down the center, and that cost me $500 to get fixed this week. So that was a lot of fun.
Well, it sounds like you've had quite a week and quite a bit of heaviness on your shoulders and a full plate, that's for sure. So maybe tonight we can vent a few laughs, perhaps.
Yes. And, of course, I'm worried about my Queenie and how has she been doing. I hope you're laughing and giggling and having whatever good times you can have.
Well, I have been spending time in the ocean, and that I just float and swim, float some more, and try to have all of the bad stuff leave my mind via osmosis. So, you know, I don't really know what to say about all of that, except that I've been writing and trying to keep a lid on things. And other than that, I have a very big heart.
Oh, you do. You have the biggest heart. That I know. Oh, I hope that, you know, you get that
under.
It's kind of an inside joke because I've been having some health issues and I have found out some of them. I still have to have a CAT scan to get to the bottom of some other stuff, but I have apparently an enlarged heart, and it's quite large apparently.
Oh,
wow. And I'm not sure what's going to happen, but I'm just trying to get through the days. And they also, in the process of all of that, found some spots on my lungs. And so I'm not sure what's happening there either. So I'm just kind of, I have my rose-colored glasses on, and through them I will be looking until I cannot see anymore. And so that's, you know, no pun intended or anything like that. That's how I'm coping with things. And other than that, just trying to spend a lot of time enjoying my life and, because that's really the only thing that one can do when there's nothing you can do about the rest, you know?
Yep.
Yeah. That's why I'm trying the serenity prayer. Scream about all the things you can't control and laugh at all the things you can.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't it go something
I feel
like
lucky,
that?
Though, because when I get out at the beach, I'm in the water or sitting on the sand, I just feel a freedom that I don't have anywhere else. And I enjoy it. Like I, being in the water or even, like we're just in the water almost all day today and my fingers are still shriveled up a little bit, but that kind of stuff
Aww.
Really helps me to forget and cope better, that sort of thing, yeah. So, you know,
yeah.
And I just continue to write.
That's crazy. Let me see. Can anybody get Marcus the link to the show? Because if I do it, I go, it goes blubbly block on me. Let me see. Dun, dun, dun. Let me see. Maybe I can try.
Well, also, is it in the room, the link? Hang on a second.
I don't know if it is. It might be, but
no,
I don't think the blog talk. I don't think it is. I got to get it up there.
Yeah,
so.
I have the wrong. I've talked to a little bit to Deb about this, and because I don't have the link to get to the shows at all, like the current shows or the on-demand shows. I don't have any. I can't get to them for some reason. I don't know why.
Mm-hmm. Do you try looking them up on Blog Talk?
Yeah, I just can't reach them. Like, it just goes, like, you know how it says what's currently being played, and then if you can, the shows that are on demand, it has a, you know what I mean? I have nothing like that. All I have is Team of Voices in a one, like, four squares in one little arrow
wow.
to play. When I play it, it's like an old, old one. So I don't have, it's a situation.
Sounds like a situation.
Well,
it should not
really
be a situation.
Sounds like you got a filter going on or something.
Yeah, I don't know what's happening.
It is a situation.
Mm.
Yeah. I've got to see if I can do a few things here. So, Rack, how was your week?
Oh, me? I live day to day. You know, I got no life.
Oh, come on.
Seriously. I hang out here and I write every once in a while. Oh. Yeah. I trust me. Don't get me started. Between not being able to see straight and not being able to walk straight, I can't get around. So all I do is lay around, listen to the TV, and write when I can, and hang out here when I can. I've got no life. I don't do anything. Yeah. You know, my big adventure is going and getting groceries. My big adventure is getting groceries and ordering Indian food.
Oh, Indian food. Oh, how do you do that? Can't, I love, but I can't, the curry. Oh, good Lord, the curry. Yeah, and you know, that's
well,
really
I mean,
day, let alone their week. It's really bad heartburn.
It's just one dimension, though, that there's so much different stuff. My friend used to tell me, I hate hot stuff. I hate hot stuff. But, you know, I took him out for Indian food, and I made him get the tandoori. And that's, you know, like almost barbecue chicken. It's so mild. There's no spice to it, really. It's just a lot of flavor. It's delicious, but it's not hot at all.
This is true.
They make a lot of stuff with yogurt, too, that's not that spicy. I mean, there's a lot. The thing that I love about it, you know, I hang out in the kitchen. I like to mess around and cook and whatnot. But the rule that I shouldn't say the rule the idea of, you know, those recipes are the best is basically how I learned. But Indian food, they take like 15 recipes where one thing sounds like it would overpower another, but they make them sing together like a symphony. That's what I love about it. I can't replicate it. They take spices and they do different things to the same spice, and it tastes like a totally different spice, and they put them all together, and one, it's not that one overpowers another. You know, normally if you put rosemary in with something else, you only taste the rosemary and you don't taste the, but whatever it is that they do, they make everything work together in a beautiful, beautiful way that I just admire.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Mine is a good week for me is when I can have really good Chinese food. Me, Bernadette,
oh, you love Chinese food too.
But you always say, I think everybody has their favorite place though. Like that's the week. If I'm having a bad week, that's the guy I go to. That's the guy that takes me where I need to be. That's the man that can just soothe the bad week. Like, a good meal always takes like a bad week into perspective.
Oh,
what
yeah.
about you, Lady A?
A good week takes a bad week into perspective. I think you have to think in a positive frame of mind, because if you don't, you can go insane. And I have a lot of other problems going on, and I'm sure I'll just bore people to death by speaking to them, but I just feel like there's, you have to think positive. You have to think, no matter what you're going through, you can have a little pity party for a while, maybe even on a daily basis for 5 or 10 minutes or a half an hour or so, but then you got to kind of snap out of it. And you have to live, here's what I'm going to say about that, you have to live until you die and not live like you're dying.
Well, that's kind of what she's saying about having a nice meal. That's an escape. That's what I do, the same thing. You know, you've heard the expression, eat your feelings. You know, if I feel in a bad mood, think, I'm all by myself. You know, I got the whole kitchen at my disposal, and I like to cook. So I'll go in the kitchen. I'll start pulling stuff out. Next thing you know, I got a 5-course meal. You know, it's hard to feel bad with the steak and baked potato and you know, a side of peas and whatever else, you know, fried onions.
Well, I think
yeah.
each person, we all have our own ways of coping from, you know. I'd heard a rumor that you were quite a cook.
Okay.
So that is a very interesting thing. I would never guess that about you, but it's a wonderful thing. So when is the dinner party for all of us?
If you make it here, I promise I'll cook for you whatever you want. I used to, before I got married, I had made up my mind that, you know, well, you know, the thing about entertaining, the holiday, so I wanted to do something for Thanksgiving. I wanted to make a signature dish. You know, everyone's got their own little thing, you know, aside from being able to do the turkey. I had researched this type of Greek stuffing. I fell in love with it. I wanted something a little different, you know. So I found this recipe in the newspaper of all places, and I fell in love with it. I made just one little tweak to it. The recipe I had tomato sauce in it. I didn't like the idea of that on next to the turkey, so I took that out. But it was pretty much just it's rice-based. That was the starch, and it had chopped meat. And the thing I loved about it, aside from the fried onions and parsley, there was a lot of other seasonings, like I think there was allspice and cinnamon. But the thing that was different about it had chestnuts and cannoli nuts and raisins and wine. So that's basically the whole – oh, my God, it was so good. And basically that's the whole recipe. You know, the outer portion of whatever, you know, the meat crusts up a little bit, and you know, the chopped meat and the rice soaks up all the flavor. The wine, the alcohol cooks out of the wine, so it really just adds flavor to it. It's got that little bit of cinnamon and allspice that makes it a little not really sweet. It adds kind of a smoky flavor to it. I think there's another. It might have cumin in it. I'm trying to remember. I don't remember very well. It's been forever since I made it, because I've been on my own and I haven't cooked for a bunch of people. But you know, that was my thing. And what happened when I had my mother-in-law over? She wanted me to make stovetop stuffing.
Oh, I remember you telling that. That is a mortal sin. I hope no.
I got this 4-hour project of homemade stuffing, and she's like, "Yeah, I want stovetop."
Oh my god!
Yeah.
That's crazy. All right, so we're gonna jump into poetry. Just jump right there. So since this is my stress relaxing, we're gonna talk about some stress. Oh, I like stress. A lot of people do things under stress. So let's see. A group team of voices. Let's start with this one. We're going to start with me. Woohoo. Don't stress. There can be clowns. Because nobody likes a bunch of clowns. Even though this poem has nothing to do with clowns. I just like, don't stress. There should be clowns. Violet spears of chewing gum bubbles. Perched on smiled lips, temper tantrums displayed inside the vacuumed space as a sugar-cane face sucked lemons inside broad cheeks. Consequences of surface acts lay littered on the lawn, battles with the ignorant leave bloodstains in the driveway, bodies of the disobedient lay dismembered on the porch. Festivals of fighting bring explosions of grandeur, headaches and pounding join the band, and the rock star takes a bow. Silence and calm is leaving in tattered rag, on knees bent, seeking its own solitary confinement as the asphalt is grinding tires into rubber bands. Mirrors on walls deceiving look back into eyes, dancing marionettes held on string by stressful things drop the sunburn and keep the moon on call. And so there you have it. That is how my stress works. All right.
Marionette on strings, huh?
Marionette on strings. How sometimes people play me. That's how I get so stressed. It's like, oh, over here. That's definitely how I feel about that a lot. So there you go. All right.
Well, what did you think, Russ?
I dread the wrath of someone that pulled that manipulation and you know, because Sweet's not a stupid person, and when she realizes that that's what happened, yeah, there's going to be a reckoning, and the bodies on the lawn, I think, is an indication of that. I mean, I love the way she
writes. No.
No. Yeah. Oh, she's her version of littering, you know. You got to call the coroner, not the trash man.
I am very sweet. I'm sugar cane. Did you not get that?
Yeah.
Well, I thought it was a really good moment. I like that. You know, of course, it's time. You know, you say you know, don't stress. There could be clowns, which would be like for you apparently a lot worse if there were clowns present. So you have to look on the bright side that there are no clowns. I thought it was. I like mirrors on walls deceiving look back into eyes dancing marionettes held on strings by stressful things. Drop the sun, burn, and keep the moon on call. You know, yeah. I think that,
Thank you.
Well, you know, you are quite a brainiac, I have to say.
She's brilliant.
Oh, well, yeah, we should listen to that all night. Thank you very much. But we all know that that's not going to happen. So, thank you very
much. I think people can... You can, you know, have stress for a lot of different reasons, and I think it can eat you up or you can kind of use it to your advantage and you know, in terms of writing or in terms of being assertive and standing up for yourself, you know. I have a poem that reflects that a little bit. I think it's, let me see, I don't know if I can find it.
Yeah.
As I I was very busy today, so I didn't get the chance to write one. But,
Oh, no.
Well, you know.
What, you didn't write?
Just a second. Let me see if I can put... Yeah.
And you were by the water, so you didn't put on your makeup, so there goes the clown angle.
See? That's what happened. I'll have to look for it for a little bit, so we can carry on, can we not?
Yes, we can carry on. I'm having a little...
Sweet Pea's familiar with carrying. Carrying.
I am.
Carry on.
Carry on. I know everybody says I say that word wrong. Crayon. I don't know why I say it wrong, but I do. My crayon. Don't make fun of my crayon. All right, so I have a poll from Stephen. So we're going to talk to Stephen here. Let me get that up on the board. Hello, Stephen. Dum-de-dum. Oh, thank you. And we have Marius out on the board, so thank you, Marius, for your comment. I appreciate that. Dum-de-dum. I have, like, I was so lost up without Freebird, and she's like, oh, I got to be up here. I'm over here. And she's playing. I'm going to have to change my shows back to 9 to 11 because this is too early for my East Coast people because they're getting home. And then it's still too early for my East Coast because of school starting and band and everything like that. So all my peeps are like, wait, you got to do something. So I'm kind of taking a vote as to whether it's going to be 11 or it's going to be 9. Because it's like craziness. Like,
well,
what,
if it's 11 o'clock
to
and it's
do?
12 o'clock for me to start midnight, and that's late for
and
me.
That's, I know that's too late for you. See, I'm like, so at 9 always seems to kind of be like the perfect place.
Oh.
Like right in that middle. So I'm like, oh, where do I put my show? Trying to be all pleasing to all people. All right, Stephen's poem is up there.
Awesome.
So, if everyone is ready, we shall go.
Ghosts of the past take refuge in paneled walls, by Stephen 76. The taste of regurgitated gunmetal memories dance upon my reeling charcoal tongue as hands continue to move towards digital awakening. Creeping from knotty pine root walls, unveiling imps of smoke, parading lithium atrocities across the cream popcorn ceiling. Gray pillowcase drenched in sweat and saliva. Broken ivory fang digs into sneering upper lip. Dipping toast in egg yolk eyeball. Pincers black as pitch demolish retina. Burlap-skinned she-devil scowls as she soars across obsidian skies, littered with radioactive mushroom clouds. Disembodied cowhead appears from behind the onyx door, sucking oxygen through stomach acid, dealing from the bottom of the deck when the truth hides behind the one-eyed jack. End poem.
I think he's had a much worse, horrible week than I have, just dealing with bottom of the deck when truth hides behind the one-eyed jack. And disemboweled cowheads peer from beyond the onyx door, sucking oxygen through stomach acid. This is a bad, bad week. I'm just saying. I didn't have that bad of a week, but if you're going to describe an awful week, let's do it this way, because this is killer. Stephen, you write with such precision and, you know, imagery, and you really painted a vile picture of horridness and, I mean, a vivid nightmare of, you know, having that nightmare that just freezes you in time and you can't move and you can't go anywhere. And, you know, if you're kind of having that week and you're living that week and you're living that kind of world, you know, God, find a way to relax, because nobody wants to be there. Nobody wants to be in that kind of constant stress, that kind of state of mind, that kind of, no matter what you do, you can't get away from it, that go, 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 go. Oh, I mean, this is gray pillowcase drenched in sweat and saliva. Broken ivory fang digs into sneering upper lip. I can't even, you know, imagine having those kind of things go on in your life. And I know Stephen actually has he's talked about it on air before, but he has an issue with night terrors. And I don't even want to go there just based on what he wrote. I would never even want to have one moment of what he's going through. So this is not the kind of week I want to have. It's not the kind of world I want to live in. And I hope that, you know, puppy dog tails and puppy dog licks and ice cream or something helps your week. So, Rack and Tor, what did you think?
Yeah, I love the imagery. I heard the disembodied cow head, you know. Well, I'm Jersey East Coast, so I'm picturing a horse head, but, you know, the cow head can work. The whole thing, though, you know, like you said, the vileness of it, the one-eyed Jack was what grabbed me as well. I love that expression. You know, the idea of dealing from the bottom of the deck right away, you know, something nefarious is going on, something that, you know, in the old times, if you got caught doing it, you got killed for. So, you know, the idea of the dealing from the bottom of the deck, you know, sounds kind of innocent on the surface of it, but, you know, people take their cards kind of seriously, you know, depending on what ethnicity you are, too. But, it's a horrible thought, and, you know, it definitely sets a somber mood. You did a great job with that.
Yeah, he did. Lady A.
I think I heard that before, that piece before. I think that it's very abstract too, and I think there was a word bank as well. But I thought he did a great job with it. Abstract poetry is difficult for me, and I generally find it it can be interesting and easy to decipher at times, but for the most part, I find it difficult. And I know that Stephen's been doing more of them of late, and I honestly can say I prefer his other style of poetry. Not saying that this is right or wrong or good or bad or anything like that. I think I prefer his other style. The abstract poetry is difficult for me to decipher sometimes. You know. Like, let me, you know, just, you know, the way that he strung them together, I'm trying to get here, hang on a second. The picture is quite haunting. When he talks about, like, he's using a lot of metaphor, too, at the same time, like, this first verse, the taste of regurgitated gunmetal memories, dance upon my reeling charcoal tongue, as hands continue to move towards digital awakening. What does that mean? I want to say, it looks good. It sounds good, but I'm not fully understanding what he's trying to say when he gets to the end of it.
Well, he's talking about the taste of metal in his mouth, which usually means blood.
Blood.
Really?
Yeah, like he was so afraid he bit down on his lips or something, I guess, the taste of blood in his mouth.
So where do you get that?
Yeah.
The gun metal.
Because he's having a nightmare.
Gunmetal on my tongue.
Gunmetal means blood, is that what you're saying?
If you taste metal in your mouth, like copper is a more common, but, you know, to veer away from the cliche, he said gunmetal in his mouth, which could also be, you know, interpreted as putting a revolver in your mouth even. So, you know, the taste of gunmetal in your mouth.
Yeah, that's what I got out of it.
To me, it read more like blood.
Metaphors and cliche.
But it's well written. It's very well written. I don't want to sound like I'm being negative. I just find it difficult to understand at times.
Yeah,
you know?
It's more about him describing a nightmare, I believe, and being like you can't get out of it is what I think he's talking about. is his nightmare,
okay.
that he suffers from night terrors, and it, he's talking about
okay.
a dream that he can't get out of. Yeah. So, let's see.
Okay, thank you.
You want Marius next?
No. He will be up here shortly, because I know he's on the board.
That's why I asked.
I have him being loaded. So he's not quite loaded yet. I got to give him a few more drinks. But yeah, he's being loaded now as we speak. So I have,
You have Frank?
I wanted to talk. I do have Frank, but I'm not going to go with Frank either. Where's yours?
I didn't write today.
Of course not. Never. So I want to talk about the actual word, the actual new word we've got up here, and it is stress relaxing, which is being stressed, that relaxing makes you more stressed because you're not working on what's making you stressed. So this is a new term, a new lifestyle. Do you ever stress while you're supposed to be relaxing about something you should be doing, but what you should be doing stresses you out?
Of course. I think we all have stress, and I think that we cover it. We pretend that we don't, and we do. You know, like, I do that. But that's a coping mechanism. You know, you pretend that it's not there. You kind of deal with it, but it's ever present. And so you just eventually ignore it. And then, you know, you go nuts because you can't, sometimes you just can't do it anymore.
Right. I try to relax, but I always think if I'm relaxing that there's something I should be doing. Like, you know, like, I should be cleaning or I should be doing this, or I'm wasting time, I'm being lazy, and I don't know if that's good or bad. It's like, what should you be doing and how should you be doing it? And Rack, do you ever do that? Are you able just to chill out and do nothing?
Well, one of the things that, you know, you have to learn to do, or I you know, that helped me, you put yourself on the list of things that need taken care of. And, you know, if there's something too big to work on, that's when you work on yourself. So, you know, it's, I don't know. I tend to focus on the things that I can manage, and the things that are out of control, I just kind of try and do what I can to affect it. But, you know, I realize that, you know, if I have no control over it, that there's, I let it go, you know. So I'm really pretty chill when it comes to stuff like that. I'm fortunate, you know. It used to make my ex-wife crazy.
Yeah.
I really did. You know, she's like, doesn't that bother you? I'm like, of course it does. But, you know, worrying about it isn't going to do anything. So, you know, I don't see the point. You know, so it's like, you know, and she could just roll her eyes and kind of huff. But it's just the way I am, you know. You do what you can, you know, and sometimes, you know, nibbling away at a problem until you can make it go away. So that's the route of attack I tend to try. You know, what do I know that I can do? You know, if there's something that I can't get to, you know, what can I get to? What can I, you know, achieve? And you know, if part of the reason why I can't get it done is because I'm stressed, then that's when I step back and I say, okay, well, then I got to do something for me. And that's when I order Chinese food or Indian food or something, and I enjoy myself, and then I get to what I wanted to do.
Awesome.
And that's why none of my clothes fit in.
Well, I have Marius up on the topic board, and I am ready to hit play. Deb was nice enough to get in there and get that done for me. So I really appreciate that. So if we are all ready, we'll listen to Marius.
pray?
It rains. My soul is cold. The cup is empty. Please, old innkeeper, pour again. It's dark. My love has left me. I want to drink away my pain. I want a bitter wine, bitter like my life, like my longings. I want a cheap wine, bad and sour. I want to drown all my feelings, my pain that's rising every hour. Please, old innkeeper, pour again. The sun has gone, the stars are dead. I want a weak wine, light and plain. I want my memories easily fed. The cup is empty, no more music. Please, old innkeeper, pour again. My life is done, it's so confusing. I wish for love, I wish in vain. I want good wine, strong, the best. Dark red, like the blood, like death. I put my arms across my chest. I love her until my latest breath.
Oh my gosh, do I love that. And we revert to the prompt, be the reason someone smiles today or the reason they drink, whatever works. And this is just beautiful. Please, old innkeeper, pour again. The sun has gone. The stars are dead. I want a weak wine, light and plain. I want my memory easily fed. I have to say, this is just a beautiful story. I love the music behind it. I love the voice. You know, it's like the story of that pain that you feel. And even says, I want to drink my pain away. But how you can love someone and just they go away and you know, it's such misery. And you felt the misery in every word and every stanza. And I love when a poem can make me feel, just draws out that feeling in me through the words and through, you know, something you can actually feel and see yourself doing and wishing. I love, I wish in vain, you know, how we all wish for that love, that beautiful love we want to have, but then we have it and it runs away or goes away. And, you know, a good wine can solve anything. Thank you, Marius, for bringing this. It's absolutely stunning. All right. And my raconteur, your thoughts.
Yeah, this is gorgeous, Marius. I love the imagery in it, and you know, I hate that people kind of call it a cliche when you talk about something like drowning your sorrows or something like that. The way you handled this is absolutely perfect for what we're talking about. You know, you talk about the strength of the wine. You talk about the idea of losing yourself in the drink and the reason why people turn to it or the excuse that they give themselves when they turn to it. And the mention of the cup being empty in the midst of this also was brilliant. You know, that really made the feeling that much more powerful for me. The whole thing was gorgeous, and, you know, the closing is kind of where it had to go. You know, you'll love her till your dying breath, because that's really that feeling that's kind of driving you. You know, you can't get away from that, and if you can't have it, you just want to drown your sorrows and forget. You know, it's a very familiar, very easy route to take, and, you know, it's very relatable. You did a fantastic job painting this picture.
Absolutely. And Lady A, your thought?
Well, you know what? I'm putting this on my list because I just absolutely love it. I'll just read what I wrote. This is brilliant, passionate, and this is a brilliant, passionate, and sorrowful pen. Fantastic emotion depicted. The pain is palpable. Love lost remains forever. Just gorgeous, and it is truly a gorgeous piece.
I
love
agree.
It.
Truly gorgeous. Me too. I enjoyed it too. Very much so. Thank you, sir. We need to talk about lost loves I've had in a bad week. God knows I've had a bad week with love. Had a couple of bad weeks this year with love. Breaking my heart. But love can. Oh, hush. Leave me and my cow alone. But that's Rack's world. Off the rack and broken hearts and all that. So I won't jump on that. What else have we got going on for us? Lady A, did you ever find your poem?
Yeah, well, I found one that I like, so I'm gonna I put that in the topic room there.
Oh, okay. Well, then let me go grab that. There you are, Lady A. All right, there's dead air because I'm not talking. I just stop talking. Guys, have to forgive me. I mean, I'm like one of the most talkative people on the planet. I'm so tired. I stopped talking. How sad is that? There's some bad times from your host that just stopped talking. There you are. You're up, Lady A.
Okay. Where are I? Where am I? Okay, this is called Jagged Corners. And I wrote this 2 years ago. Anterior canvas portraits painted silent as eyes gaze evokes emotional response from those who highly praise. Should the portrait return in kind, your beauty I adore. Lonely would walk away when comfort came through that door. Life is multifaceted, points and jagged corners. Pain, sorrow, disenchantment leaves grieving mourners. Secrets shared with trusted friends, betrayal then ensues. 20 years disregarded, once again I sing the blues. Childhood suffering, teenage angst alone, endured all. Giving love to family, friends met with cold, hard walls. Lingering need for affection, a kiss upon my cheek. I've learned self-love, my reliable friend, keeps me from the brink. Some are destined to love husbands, wives, and lovers, utter adoration and promises to love no other. Poe knew well of what I speak. He lived it till his death. He said, "In all I've loved alone," with his dying breath. And poem.
Wow. This is powerful. It's sad. It kind of packs a punch of, you know, a kind of cornucopia of emotion. You know, it's fear, it's rage, it's loneliness, it's, you know, all of these things that kind of go through life. I love points and jagged corners. I kind of, there's some imagery in that really kind of astounds me, because I just kind of see like this kaleidoscope puzzle where they have all the points and jagged corners and all of that. And it may be pretty, but you want to walk through it. It's just really difficult to take in because there's so much pain in it. And, you know, Poe knew well of what I speak. He lived till his death, he said, and all I've loved alone with his dying breath. And, you know, to love and to love alone has got to be the saddest thing on this earth. But I think it's part of a reality for many people, is that they're not often knowing how much they are loved or how they have been loved. And I am going to welcome 856, which I believe is Deborah Lee.
Hey, beautiful.
Hey, Deb.
Where are
Come
you?
Come back.
Hey, sis. Where are you?
I'm hanging in. How are you?
Doing the same.
The same. It's been one of those weeks we're all hanging in. I'm glad to hear it. All right.
Better than falling over.
Home. I'm about ready to do that.
Oh, I think the poem's amazing. I think it speaks perfectly for the quote. I think that the verbiage and descriptors that you used fit Poe incredibly. I was shocked to realize that this was actually a couple of years old. Like I said, because it goes so perfect, and the end, that the thought of the years of angst and loneliness and sadness that you managed to pack into four stanzas is incredible.
Thank you. I feel, you know, this is, it continues to be how it works for me, and how life is for me, and I have been on an emotional roller coaster for many years, and I feel unnecessarily so. And but nothing, you know, seems to change. And I've gotten to the place where I keep saying to myself, I cannot do anything about it. I am. It's like I'm being an alcoholic. I'm helpless in this situation. There's nothing I can do except let go of it. And know that I, you know, you can't make people like you. You can't make people love you. You can't have, you know, I have the disapproval of those that are closest to me. And I can't stand it, but it's not my responsibility on how they feel, you know. And they're the ones that are going to have to answer to it, not me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think we can all own what we own, but what I don't own in this is what I'm writing about. I don't own it, and I won't own it. And their responsibility. You know, my birthday was last week. And, you know, I never heard from any of my kids.
I'm sorry, honey.
A couple of my grandkids came out to see me, and those things I am thankful for, but I will never understand the rest, never.
I'll take comfort in the fact that it's not you.
Yeah.
Well, according to them, it is, but. You know, I wish I could understand it. I wish I could get it all together, but I just don't get it.
But understanding it isn't going to help you. They're going to do what they're going to do. So you know, I can't deny that I understand that it hurts you, but you know, that their reasoning, whatever logic. Anyway, yeah, it's just their excuse. It's their excuse to do what they want. And you know, there's really, like you say, there's nothing you can do.
No.
You know?
All I ever wanted for my kids is for them to know that they are so loved. That's all I've ever tried to do with my children, is to make sure. And, you know, you make sure that your kids get what you never had. And I've made sure of that. But it's like I expect
you want
to be expectations in return.
Rack. Yeah. And Rack, what did you think of the poem? Because it does lay out all of that. It lays out a lot of that.
Yeah. There's a lot of anguish and pain in it, and I think the closing line summarizes everything, you know. It's horrible that you go through it, but you know, at the same time you move on and you persevere.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And yeah, Lady A, you can feel that in your definitely in your words there. That poem is something that we'll definitely have to say on my list. I'm just not sure which list I'm going to put it on, because I think I got two or three I wanted on. And by the way, happy birthday.
Thanks.
I think, Deb, you called, so I'm going to throw you up. Hello, Frank. I see you on the board. I told them I'm doing so well that I keep forgetting to talk. which is unusual for me because I never shut up. So I don't know what is going on with me. Deb, and I love the title of your poem, by the way, Deb. I am like, oh, this has got to be the best title I've seen in a long time. So,
hi, well, I've been waiting to read this to you. Oh, and I put Rack in as well.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, this is great.
Thanks, Deb.
Oh.
My
pleasure. It's all for you.
And the quote I wrote too is, is it rude to toss a Xanax in someone's mouth while they're talking? So here we go. For all the know-it-alls that never shut up. As two lips flap with that comic strip parent voice, you jabber on and a button in me flips. Goose pimples climb my flesh from every wah, 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 so my brain shows me cartoon Roadrunner and coyote clips, but not to drop the big boulder on the granite cliff's edge clip, no, to pinch the plastic straw and suck out the last juicy sip, then shoot a pink sleeping pill spitball down that throat, aiming for the little punching bag adenoid skin so you gag. Puking in the pockets of that fugly chartreuse blouse clip, topped by the knock-you-out stone-cold growing a fat lip just to bask in the sweet silence dressed in a grin clip. Now open wide.
She said sweet silence, so I'm wondering if I'm the one supposed to be silent. But no, I don't think so. Anyway, you know, I always take
oh,
the
no,
word
no.
Sweet, you know, I know. I like this because as two lips flap with that comic strip parent voice, you jabber on, and my button flips in me. First off, I tend to do that a lot, so I'm wondering how many people want to throw a sleeping pill at me because I get very, very parrot-like sometimes, and I'm like, now listen, this is what we have to do and the way we have to do it. And if we take our time and focus on A, we can look at B and C, C, and go to B.
That.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my God, I like this a lot. I love your imagery, as always, Deb. I don't know how you do it, but puking in the pockets of that ugly, foogly Cherokee's blouse clip. I think that's the first time I've seen fugly in a poem, and I think it works.
Oh, I love that word.
Beautifully.
I've great
never
compound
seen it in a
word.
Poem. Yes. Oh my God. Oh, and the pinch, the plastic straw, and suck out the last juicy stick. I mean, I don't even know how you come up with this stuff, but it's brilliant, and I love it, and you're a rock star, and all of the above things, and no, it is not rude to toss a Xanax in someone's mouth, and therefore, there's the man that is on cue with you every single time. Hey, hello to your Aunt Amadeus, because he needs a Xanax always. All right, Ragnatore, your thoughts.
Yeah,
Thank you, sweetie.
I'm nothing but a big kid, so I love all the cartoon references. I gravitated straight towards the wah-wah-wah-wah-wah and the jabbering. I mean, all those words and phrases, that's kind of my life, you know. I related to it, you know, I guess growing up, that was my babysitter, my retreat, you know, the cartoons and that. So, you know, I tend to let it bleed into my real life and find a lot of parallels to things like that. So the idea of you know, shooting the Xanax at that little punching bag, like you mentioned, is not something that would be beyond me. I'll make you laugh. I literally, when I was unemployment in my early years, I was in Blimpie's getting a sandwich at lunchtime, and a bunch of school kids came in, and I started a spitball fight. So when the kids realized it was me, they were like, it was him. Damn, he's old too. And it was hysterical. But you know, because, you know, who expects, you know, an adult or a supposed adult to pick a spitball fight with a bunch of teenagers in backpacks? But there I was in the middle of Blimpie's. You know, I just, you know, cartoon unexpected stuff like that. It's like, you know, why the hell not? You know, I can, and I did. So, you know, it's that feeling that, you know, you want to be able to take advantage of, but, you know, reality kind of doesn't let you. So, you know, I can absolutely relate to this. And yeah, and I could kind of see you losing control and just shooting that spitball at someone, that Xanax down their throat.
It has been more than one time I wish I had the ability to do something like that. Thank you, Rick. My
I guess that leaves Lady A is next, I guess.
Yeah,
she's
I thought
yelling at Amadeus or something.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I thought this was really good. I think all of us can apply it to each to ourselves in many ways. And I thought it was very creative and funny. It was quite a question, I must say. And I think that sometimes husbands and wives can relate it to each other because 99% of the time they don't listen to us, and they do have that wah, wah, wah. And so that was, I thought that was, it was a really great write. It was a lot of fun, but it was a lot, there was a lot of truth to it, too.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a way to tell a little bit of truth and then try to make Sweet laugh all at the same time, so it was fun.
You definitely made me laugh. Hello, I'm here.
Hello.
Let's see. What am I doing? Oh, that's what I'm doing. We're gonna go ahead and put Rack and Tor up. No, I didn't disconnect. I was just on mute talking to Amadeus because that's what I do.
I think you're the one that didn't hear this.
Huh? What?
I think you're the only one that didn't hear this. I know Deb and Lady A did.
Oh,
but
okay.
It's your drinking comment, so have fun.
All right, excellent. All right, so here we go.
Mistaking a drink for a shot by Raconteur. I may not be your cup of tea, but I can still satisfy your thirst. Take a chance. Sneak another glance. First impressions are purportedly the worst. I've been told I look like 6 feet of rough road, making it easy to discern what lies within. Unavoidably vulnerable to your scrutiny, take your time and drink me in. Decide for yourself if I have substance. Don't look away or close your eyes. Everything about me is genuine. Life's too short for games and lies. Comfortable keeping my own company, observing the world as it sails through space, searching for beauty amid madness, spoken in the silence of a gentle embrace. It's all in my imagination, the melody of infectious laughter and lingering fragrance of your hair. It could so easily become real if only we weren't pretending to care. No blinding flash before the thunder crash, just facial precipitation clouding my sight, over before it ever began. Disappearing like a thief in the night. Separate or together, results in the same conclusion. Fate has a cruel sense of humor, and happiness is merely an illusion. End poem.
Wow. Well, all my imagination, the melody of infectious laughter, the lingering fragrance of your hair could so easily become real if only we weren't pretending to care. I love that line. I really do. I think that line is beautiful. Or that stanza, not that line. But, wow, this is gorgeous. But you could be my cup of tea. I like how you used the metaphor of the drink, taking a drink for a shot. Like, I'm more than just a flash in the pan. You could come and all of that. I think that's really kind of cool the way you did it and the way you went through this. Fate has a cruel sense of humor, and happiness is merely an illusion. Isn't that something to say? Maybe it's the other way around, and we just give fate more credit than happiness, because, as I've always said, there's no ribbon for hate. There's tons of ribbons for love. So I think that we are always fighting against it, so maybe we should just give happiness the ribbon and just be done with it. And let fate go in its cruel and separate ways. No, I really, really enjoyed that. Lady A, your thoughts?
Well, you know, he always writes beautiful poetry, and interesting poetry. I think that with this piece, I've been told I look like 6 feet of rough road, making it easy to discern what lies within, unavoidably vulnerable to your scrutiny. Take your time and drink me in. I thought that was really, I liked that verse. I liked them all, but I really liked that one. Like, you're pleading too a little bit, you know, speaking about this, you know, first impressions. You try to, you know, to do, if people are looking at it, you try to discern what lies within you, to see you for who you are, and to scrutinize you, and drink me in, get to know me, the genuine you. And I like that, you know, not to play games, because life is too damn short to play that type of role. And I think you, and then it's spoken in the silence of a gentle embrace, and that's exactly like you. You're cracking jokes, and you're making yourself heard that way, but you have that tender side to you, that gentleman side to you, and very affectionate side to you, and romantic, you know, the melody of infectious laughter and lingering fragrance of your hair. Oh, come on, like, we love that, you know what I mean? Like, it's really, really, it's a sad poem in some ways, but I think it's beautiful. And also, too, it's very jaded, because at the very, very end of it all, and happiness is merely an illusion. That's a really sad statement. But I understand what you mean entirely.
Thank you, my friend.
You're welcome, darling.
And Deborah.
Yeah, I do remember this one. More than worth listening to again. I have it on one of my lists. And the first time you read it, I was like taken back by the emotion that it struck. As a matter of fact, my comment was short but sweet, gut-wrenching and powerful poetry. Your hurt locker is mighty. And then I hit a save button. And the emotion shows in your voice when you read too, Rack, so that really adds to the tug on the heartstrings when you're doing it. Still a great show.
Thanks, Deb.
All right, so next up on our board is going to be Frank. So his poem is up there, and if everybody is ready, I will hit play.
To see the light, I must first be in the darkness. And to rid myself of the darkness, I must believe there is actually light. To see the world, I must first see my shadow. For it is my shadow that I must emerge from. To understand life, I must first learn to live. And to live is to understand that I shall one day die. But death will not define me, nor shall I be thus remembered by its day. Instead, death will only be the year I die in nothing more than absolute. If I am to know of my strength, I must know my weakness in earnest, for it is the only way my strength will prevail over my weakness. If I am to overcome my pain, I must first realize it does not hold me hostage, and pain is just a measure of my sadness or despair. But sadness can become happiness, and depression can become the joy of living another day upon this earth. To love, you must first have to bear the bitterness of regret, then allow your heart to love and to be loved deeply. The heart must always beat to the rhythm of love, never to the silence of its gradual isolation in time. To gain wisdom, I must first gain knowledge through the seed of the apple I first bit from. To destroy my demons, I must first distinguish the truth of my reality, then my drear illusions. Art is the illustration of my reality, though abstract, it is nevertheless the reality. I must comprehend.
Wow.
In the
I really like how you went through all of this between the sadness and love, and like I have to overcome your pain and to know your strength and to know your weaknesses is the ability. It's like the yin and yang of everything. The heart must always beat to the rhythm of love, never to the silence. To gain wisdom is to know knowledge. To destroy my demons, you have to distinguish the truth of my reality, then my true illusions. I really love the ebb and flow of this, right? I thought it was a really interesting way to look at life and how it goes, and you know, it enthralls you to know. Without knowing one, you can't know the other, so we never know if we have a bad week unless we have a great week. And I thought it was very captivating. It was a really great read. Back and toward your thoughts.
Yeah, I thought it was very contemplative myself. You know, the light and the dark thought is something that, you know, I think we all toy with at some point. You know, there can't be shadows without light and that kind of a thing. You know, you explored it very well. There was beautiful imagery in it, and, you know, it was both dark and reflective at the same time.
Mm. Deb, your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with you guys. There's that knowledge mixed with hopes that were dashed and maybe some that were fulfilled. And thoughts and maybe what it, it's like every emotion you could think of wrapped together. Like to see the world, I must first see my shadow. Or what was that? If I am to overcome my pain, I must first release. I mean, realize it does not hold me hostage. The other one, it was one had a lesson's not really the word. I can't think of the word I want, but to love you must first have to bear the bitterness of regret, which is a sad thought, the bitterness of regret. To gain wisdom, I must first gain knowledge. So it's like realization. Like I said, disappointment. So it was the gamut of emotions and reasoning that goes through here is mind-blowing. It's a great share.
And Lady A, your thoughts?
Well, I agree with what's been said so far. I think a lot of our whole life is based on learning one thing and then the opposite of it. I mean, to have any kind of understanding of life, you have to, you know, to know comfort is to know pain. All of those things are the opposites of each other. Give us greater understanding of life in general, and I think that that's, I don't know, it's a profound way to look at things, I suppose, and I think he did a great job in expressing that. It's a profound lesson, but I think it's something that, more than a lesson, it's just an understanding of life itself. You know, you can't be... Can you be happy? Can you be happy without having known sorrow? You know? Like, I can put this into what I was talking about earlier for my kids, you know, thinking that my love was sufficient for them, you know, that I would give them that and they would have, like, the best life in the world because I didn't have it. And I think to myself I would have been so very happy. But maybe because you have it all your life, and then as you grow older, you don't appreciate it, unless you've had something horrible happen to you. I don't know, but it's certainly about life, and spoken very well.
Yes, it is. And racking toward your thoughts.
Hurry up, Rack, before I get a Xanax thrown down my throat.
I already commented on it.
Oh, I'm sorry. That shows you
where
my head is. All right. Let's go back to reality then, Pam. I thought I missed you.
I miss you too.
Thank you. All right, so next we have
Gerald.
I keep hitting that. Gerald, yes. We have beautiful Gerald. And I always love Gerald's work. Okay, here we go, Gerald. Oh, crap. Oh, sorry. Thank God I do a PG-13 poem because, you know, I just kind of swear on my own show.
I swear.
And we are ready to listen to the lovely sounds of Gerald.
Conundrum.
All right.
Written in red by Gerald Green. My stress lacks only when distress exceeds my stress that drives me to excess. Obsessive thoughts attempt success while guessing how to morph my more to less. This process tends to oppress and transgress when using all the largest I possess. My friends profess superiority with words designed to suppress my confidence, unless finesse responds in ways to assess a faithfulness and charity. Nonetheless, I soon will address this loss and reassess and acquiesce and press ahead and clearly express my answer to your question from a firm no to yes. I confess my vacillation, tending to regress and repossess the stress lacks that I started with. End poem.
Well, all righty then. He always, Jeff always makes me giggle. I like the stress lacks that I started with, because I think of other things, but that's fine. Unless Finesse responds in ways to assess the faithfulness and charity. This is just great, always in rhyme and flow and everything like that. But I love the first line, I stress lacks only when distress exceeds my stress that drives me to excess. And that's, we talked about that earlier, and yeah, I wish I had that ability, but sometimes when stress gets me, I overstress. So that's the craziness in me. And the cadence and rhyme and everything just goes. And I love this show. Thank you for writing the show. But I want to pick like my favorite stanza. And every time I look at one, I want to say this one and then that one and this one and that one. And if I do that, then I'm going to be yelled at by the lady named Deb who's going to comment next. Maybe.
I don't think she heard you call on her.
Did you say me?
Oh, Deb. I did.
I think, well, I'm a mega fan of Gerald. I think that no matter what he writes, I always wind up surprised at the direction he takes. You just never know what to expect from him, truly. My friends profess superiority with words designed to suppress my confidence unless Finesse responds in ways to assess faithfulness and charity to assess. Did I just say asses? Yeah, I did. Anyway, that's why we're PG-13. I think this is really cool, but the ending, I confess my vacillations tending to regress and repossess the stress lacks that I started with. Full circle humor there. He's quite brilliant.
Yes, and Lady A.
I thought that was a terrific write. I think that was a very difficult write to be able to rhyme completely all the way through that whole poem. It was humorous, but it was really quite brilliantly written because of the amount of rhyme all the way through. I thought it was great.
Yeah, absolutely. And rocking to us.
Yeah, I think the alliteration makes this. It was wonderful to listen to. And, even on the pause button, I'd probably have a problem reading this because some of those lines are very tongue-twisterish. But, you know, he makes lovely points about obsessing and stressing and finessing.
Yes. You know, it's really funny that we're talking about stress and everything like that because I used to be in HR. That used to be my big career, and I love it. And I love being in HR. I know every time she hears it, they go, oh, HR. But it's one of my favorites. Well, it is my career choice, and it's my favorite place to be in any company. A lot of people complained about stress and you know, managers working and everything like that, and I used to always give managers a hard time, and one of the things I would always say is salary isn't slavery. You know, salary isn't slavery, so don't stress. And, you know, people would get all mad. Well, they have to know salary isn't slavery, so let's remember that. Folks, try to relax. And, you know, with the onset of cell phones and computers, you know, people work 24 hours a day. There's no shut the phone off. You know, you don't need to talk to your boss at 10 o'clock at night or at 9 o'clock at night or whatever. And, you know, one of the reasons I was thinking about this topic is because of that. You know, when do you shut off? When do you stop? When do you just focus on petting your dog or having dinner with your child or sitting next to your spouse and doing all the things that you're supposed to do. And I really wanted to kind of just bring that message home that the more we're out there and the more we're really going, is that we're going to nowhere. So just take a minute out there in radio land and remember that don't be stressed, relaxing. Just, you got enough stress. Take time to relax because we're not going to be here very long. And the more we stress about it, the less we're going to enjoy the time we're here. So I believe Gerald was my last poem of the night. And I believe that I am going to go ahead and double check that. And if that is true, we are going to say goodnight here at All Poetry, Team of Voices, Sweet Discussions tonight. And I want to thank everybody that's here. I want to thank Rack and Lady A and Deb and Marius and Frank and Gerald and everybody that wrote for me. I'm going to ask Deb about any upcoming shows she might have for the next couple of nights.
Sure. We're off tomorrow night, but Saturday we have the makeup show for anything that influenced you, like sort of in your teens, some new technology that was mind-blowing at the time that influenced the way you did things as a teen. Anything interesting that struck you during that time period, like you figure back in the day, it would have been a big deal for somebody to go from having to walk across the room to change their channel to being able to just push a button on a remote control. That's the kind of stuff he means, Hatter. And Sunday, check the weekly topic board link that will take you to the All Grown Up Adult Poetry Room. And on Monday, it's Personal Prompt Monday at 10 p.m. Eastern, and there's some photos for you to choose from and some quotes to match up. I'm thinking, yeah, some quotes. And then there's a word bank, but the word bank is not required. It's just there because everybody keeps asking me for one, so I added it just for the hell of it. So find your photo. I can't wait to see what you do at your suite because that could be so creepy with that redhead about to pop out of the flame. So I'm dying to see what you do there.
Yeah. That's going to be interesting. And then, Rack, you have a show on the following Tuesday, correct?
Yeah, I think it's this coming Tuesday, isn't it, Deb?
Yeah, that's why I stopped so you could push yours because you're right after mine.
Yeah, it's just a simple quote that I think can be very controversial and taken a million ways. The idea is it's from an old play. Life is a comedy to those who think and a tragedy to those who feel. So see what that takes you and what that brings to mind.
All right. Well, with that, then, I am going to say goodnight and go ahead and play us out with the song we started with and remind everybody that that's what we just need to do and say goodnight.
Really fun topic, sweet. Love and respect, everyone.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for using
everybody.
Radio.
Good night, everybody.
Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. Let it be, let it be, let it be. And when the broken-hearted people living in the world agree, there will be an answer, let it be. For though they may be far,
see.